on Tuesday. Here we are. What's our first topic, Jake?
All right, guys. Do you guys think that the college players should be skipping the bowl games to prepare for the draft, including Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette?
All right, so here's what I'll say. There's no way they should play in any bowl games, especially, and I'm saying college football players as a whole. If you're a first round all the way to possibly third round draft pick, I would say do not play in your bowl games. You mentioned Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey. I think those are two guys that should be first round prospects. Both of those guys are outstanding players, and I think they have skills that really could translate to the NFL, but that's another talk for another time. These games are exhibition games, Jake. All they are, at the end of the day, is an exhibition game. You come in, both teams play each other. At the end of the day, both teams leave and they go home. They're done for the season. They can't advance from winning these games. And my biggest reason on why I don't think these players should be playing is, look at Jalen Smith from last year. Outstanding linebacker from Notre Dame. Projected to be a top five pick until he plays in the Fiesta Bowl, tears his ACL and LCL, drops to the second round. You know what that cost to Jalen Smith? If he were, let's say you were the fifth pick in the draft this year, Jalen Smith would have had 4 years, $24 million guaranteed money. Guaranteed. Even if he blew his knee out the first day he got to training camp, $24 million is waiting for him. Instead, he got 4 years, $4.5 million guaranteed. And I'm not saying that's a bad payday. The guy's still making more than $1 million a year, but he's $20 million short of what he could have had. So if you're thinking about it and you're looking in your future, thinking about how am I going to feed my family and stuff, best chance I've got is playing football, because Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey are hella good football players, Jake. If they play in those bowl games and get hurt, drop to the second, third round. You never know. Those are two running backs that we're talking about right now. Running backs don't always come back from injuries like an ACL or an LCL or an MCL. Things like that kind of are different for running backs. So if I'm especially a running back like Fournette or McCaffrey, and I've got a bowl game coming up soon, I'm telling my team, I'm sorry, boys, I love you. I've loved everything you guys have done for me, but I got to sit this one out for my future.
I can agree with most of what you said. I don't think if you're a top 10, top 15 pick, bowl games do you any good. Unless you're on the fringe, and here's why I have to expand it a little bit more. If you're able to go to a bowl game and it will improve your draft stock, then I think you should do it. Because I agree with your point of it's about the NFL. I'm tired of hearing a lot of people talk about how they owe it to the team. They owe it to the fans. They don't owe it to anybody but themselves.
Nobody pays them then, so they don't owe anybody anything.
Nobody allegedly pays them any money.
Fair enough. Another talk for another time again.
Right. But so it's all about getting to the NFL. And I would rather take my chances missing the game and whatever glories would come with that if my stock in the draft won't change, i.e. Fournette, McCaffrey. Both of these guys are presumably, they're the one and two in running backs. And that's not going to change no matter if they run for 200 yards or 3 yards or sit the game out come draft time. All they need to do is go into the combine in Indianapolis and perform. That's it. That's all coaches want to see. When asked, they just have to answer honestly. I was dreaming about draft day, not bowl games. That don't matter. I'll make the exception, though. If you're playing for a national championship, you should probably go. If you're in the playoffs, in the national championship, you know, I could see making the case then. But even then, I would err on the side of caution because both of these guys have been battling injuries. So they run that risk. I like to look at guys like you mentioned Jalen Smith, and I like to, and it didn't happen in a bowl game, but Robert Griffin III's biggest knee injury came when Baylor played in his college days, and he blew his knee out then. He'd never really been the same since then. Yeah, he got some of his speed back and some of his angles, but we have to assume that all of these new injuries are really just old injuries springing back up. And that's taking away life that he's not going to see. He plays for Cleveland now, and he barely plays for them. And that's because of college football.
Yep, and what I have to say to that is, you say if you have a chance to play in the college football playoff that you think you would take the chance. I don't consider the college football playoff a bowl game. I consider that something different. I think if you can show out in the college football playoff, that can help your draft stock. I would not advise missing those games because that shows a team that when you get to the big moment on the biggest stage in college football – which is, I mean, the college football playoff is probably the closest thing that a college player will get to playing in an NFL game. So you shouldn't skip those games because that gives an NFL team a great insight on what you can do in prime time. And that's what matters to these NFL teams. Personally, I don't think the bowl games matter because you're going to build a profile off of a player during his previous seasons. He's played in other bowl games, I'm imagining, if he's a very good player, unless, I mean, in Paxton Lynch's case last year and Carson Wentz. They played for smaller schools. They don't play bowl games. So that's kind of irrelevant anyhow. But if you are one of those players that has a chance to play in a bowl game, you don't really gain anything from that because it's not prime time. You don't have anything to play for, so you aren't extra motivated. I mean, the only extra motivation you have is that it's a quote-unquote bowl game, which in retrospect, it's just a football game. Bowl game really means nothing except it was sponsored and paid for a lot of money by a certain company. There's Blackjack Pizza has a bowl game, and everyone seems to have a bowl game. That's the only difference between a bowl game and a regular college football game, except these bowl games, after it's over, everyone goes home happy because the season's over. They don't have to take that beating anymore, and hopefully they're looking forward to the NFL draft. So if I'm in the situation of being a top 10 pick, I just can't consider even going to my bowl game, and I would think my teammates would have to understand. Today I was on Twitter just kind of strolling through, and Christian McCaffrey was trending. So I looked at some of the top tweets that were getting tweeted about him. One of the first ones I saw was a receiver on his team. I cannot remember the man's name, but he's a receiver for Stanford. He said, "You know what? We stand behind Christian fully in his decision not to play with us in this bowl game. We respect everything he's helped us do, and there's a good chance that they wouldn't have made that bowl game without Christian." So how can you go hating on your teammates that got you to this point just because they have a bright future ahead of them? Wouldn't you like to root those guys on? If they're your brothers, wouldn't you root those guys on and say, "You know what? I understand why you're seeing this game out, and I respect that decision. I wish nothing but the best for you in the future. I hope to turn on the TV on Sundays and see your name on the top of the stat sheets."
Well, see, I'll go a little bit farther than that, and I'll say this. It gives other players who are going to be there next year an opportunity to shine on a stage that would not be there normally. That wouldn't be their platform. By Fournette, by McCaffrey sitting out, whoever the two is and the three is, they're going to see game time on a national stage, and the team can now evaluate next year that much earlier. They can see what kind of potential they have going into next year. One other thing I'd like to say about this is no one craps on the coaches. Mm-hmm. Coaches leave their teams every year before bowl games. Hell, the offensive coordinator of Alabama is going to FAU, right? So, I mean,
Here in Colorado, right. The offensive coordinator is now going to defensive coordinator now going to Oregon.
Right. It happens all the time. Before bowl games, coaches announce that they're not going to be there next year. You think those players enjoy that aspect of it? I'd rather see my teammate go into the draft and not play than know that my coach is going to try to tell me what to do for the next 3-4 weeks before we play our bowl game. Forget you, guy. I don't care about you anymore.
Yep.
I'm going to lose some value as far as that goes.
And in terms of those twos and threes that you were talking about, I really like the point you make there because Darius Geis, the backup to Leonard Fournette, is already in the Heisman talks for next year. He's that good. He's possibly as good as Leonard Fournette, maybe even better. We haven't seen a whole lot of him because obviously you're going to hand Leonard Fournette the ball a lot if he is healthy for that game. So for Darius Geis, I'm sure he's not sad at all to see Leonard Fournette seeing this bowl game. We're going to go to break real quick here on Necessary Roughness. After we get back, should Ezekiel Elliott have been fined for jumping in the Salvation Army kettle pot? All that and more. GoMileHigh.com. Necessary Roughness.
Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. I start laundry at 8. At 10, we go for a walk. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, Let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Did you know that birthday parties help build confidence in kids?
Yeah. Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Oh, totally. Did you know that friendly kids have more friends?
Everybody knows that.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey, how you doing? This is Joe Walsh. I'm speaking on behalf of RAD. It's okay to rock and roll, right? But don't drive home drunk. If you're drunk, call me up. I have a limo. I'll come and get you.
Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Logan Massaro.
And this is Tony Shuck.
And you're listening to Necessary Roughness.
Whoa, yeah, yeah, baby.
Welcome back to Necessary Roughness. I am your co-host, Tony Shuck. With me is Logan Massaro, and we got Jake in the booth. When we left off, we have a little teaser about Ezekiel Elliott jumping into a big red barrel.
Is what it's being labeled as.
Okay,
at
it's
the
a
moment.
Kettle. I think I'm cooking tea, making something like that. That's a big teapot.
Yeah, that is a giant.
But it's also caused a lot of big controversy. What you got for us, Jake?
All right, guys. Should Ezekiel Elliott be fined for jumping into the Salvation Army's red kettle Sunday night against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Now, I'm gonna say this apprehensively. I think that he should be fined. I think it should be a very reasonable amount of money that will be donated to the Salvation Army. Because I think he has to be fined because they have rules in place. And in that you have to follow the letter of the law. You can't celebrate with props. That was clearly a prop. It was excessive. 15-yard penalty, like it falls underneath all of those broken rule violations. So as to avoid other people going outside and trying to do other things and put it in the vein of supporting a charity, you have to lay down a little bit of the law. However, the Salvation Army's increased by 61% in donations. As of like Monday morning, they had raised over $161,000 extra.
That's outstanding.
I know, exactly. And a lot of people are making $21 donations in support of Ezekiel Elliott.
That's awesome.
And the Salvation Army's gone so far as to say that $21 will feed a family for 3 days. That's incredible that they can get away with that. And for those of you, sidebar on this, who want to donate, it's salvationarmyusa.org if you want to donate money to the Salvation Army. But I think that it's a great thing that he did it, and I think no matter what he gets fined, he'll think it's worth it. But I think the NFL needs to do the right thing and donate that fine to the Salvation Army. It's the season. It's the right time to do it. But here's why I also say it apprehensively. I'm tired of no celebrations. I would like, and I propose this on a different show, and I want to do it on this one. I propose a celebration shot clock. You cross the goal line, you get 15 seconds on the shot clock, and you can celebrate however you want.
Give it your all.
Give it everything you got, so long as you do not touch another player on the other team or, you know, like running out to the star and pulling a TO is a little excessive, but you probably couldn't make there in 15 seconds anyway. But you get 15 seconds, you want to get a Sharpie out, sign a ball, do jump, I don't care, twerk, whatever. That's your business, that's your time. And I think it would bring some enjoyment back, but keep it in a tight-knit container that the NFL can control and not let the time and speed of the game get out of hand. Because ultimately, that's why they started to implement these no celebration rules, was the fact that the games were going on and on and on for these celebrations. You had Ocho Cinco putting on the yellow jacket on the sidelines and all kinds of craziness, yep. Right? So they had to get the game in order. But as far as Zeke goes, Find him like $15K, $25K. Hell, Jerry Jones will probably pay it for him anyway. Donate it to the Salvation Army.
Yeah, and see, Tony, I agree with you. I think you need to find him. But what I will say is if they don't, maybe it's for the better. And maybe not for the better of the players and everything, but for the better of me, because I'm a me person. I like me, Tony. And you know what me likes? I like to watch football. And one of my favorite parts about football, since I've been a little guy, was I love touchdown celebrations. They are the most fun thing. When I was young, Chad Ochocinco, you already mentioned him, Terrell Owens, I mean, Ed Reed, all of them, they all got great touchdown dances. That was my favorite thing. Ochocinco was one of my favorite players. As much of an idiot as he was, changing his name to his jersey number and things like that, I love the dude. He did the Tiger Woods putt. He did all these things. And maybe if they don't find Zeke, they can't just not find Zeke because, well, they can just not find him. But what I'm saying is, players are already coming out like Odell Beckham and saying, if that were me, could you imagine the number on that fine I would have gotten? You can't be serious that this guy, Ezekiel Elliott, is not getting fined just because he appeared for the Salvation Army. If that were me doing the same exact thing, Odell Beckham Jr., I'm going to get fined. So players are already piping up and saying that. So maybe if the NFL decides, okay, we're not going to fine Ezekiel Elliott on this, then they're in a hard spot. If they don't, they got to start allowing it more and more for other players. And if they start allowing it more and more, maybe it becomes a normal thing. Maybe it's not even a shot clock thing. Maybe you can start dunking on the goalpost and start putting the football again and making football more fun to watch, because essentially football, the NFL, is to make money. And you know what? If there's guys out there dancing around doing crazy touchdown celebrations, dunking on the goalpost, doing 360 reverse slams and stuff like that, having a fun old time with it, maybe it attracts more viewers. And that's never a bad thing. If you're in the industry of attracting people to your product and you have another tool to do that, why get rid of that tool? So, you know, maybe Zeke is starting a revolution. Maybe Zeke not getting fined for jumping in this kettle, because you know what? He did put the NFL in a hard situation to find a guy who had just stood up for that charity, who got on Twitter the second the game ended and said, whatever they fine me for that, I will match in donations. He put the NFL in a weird spot. You suddenly fine that guy and you look like a giant a-hole, if you know what I'm saying. So, you know, maybe he's starting that revolution. Maybe we'll get touchdown celebrations back because of Zeke. I like what he's doing. But essentially, at the end of the day, you got to fine him unless you're going to change that rule, Tony.
I agree with you, but I disagree with Odell Beckham Jr. First off, I hate players that think, oh, if that was me, blah, blah, blah. Listen, you get fined what you get fined because you break rules like you break rules. Odell Beckham Jr. has gotten fined because of excessive roughness penalties with him and Josh Norman, right? And those weren't egregious fines. He earned those fines. Odell Beckham Jr. needs to shut up. He's not being targeted in the NFL, period. He just needs to stop crying.
So you don't think if he jumped in the kettle that he wouldn't have been fined? You think he would have got away with it as well?
I think anyone would have, for the exact reason Zeke didn't. I think it put the NFL, just like you said, in a hard situation, and they're going to look like bad people in a bad organization. I do think that they need to have some kind of talk with Zeke, and as they would have with OBJ, to say, hey, this is a one-off, don't do it again. Because there needs to be guidelines, there needs to be a system in place. But I don't think anybody would have gotten fined in this case, especially if they go out like Zeke did right afterwards and tweet, I'm good with it. Find me whatever you want. I'm going to match it. That's the thing. Like, Zeke's a good guy. Has he ever gotten in trouble inside the NFL so far?
Best Not to our know, knowledge.
No. There's some domestic violence accusations out there, but on the field, best we can tell, he's a good guy. Odell Beckham Jr. has a checkered history on the field. Getting in altercations with referees, getting in altercations with their players. What he's gotten, he's deserved. So stop crying. Get your paycheck. Shut the hell up. Donate to the Salvation Army. And we're gonna donate to whoever. No, PSAs, nobody pays us. But we got to go to break, guys. When we come back, we are going to talk about, what are we talking about, Logan?
Next, we are going to get into, are the Denver Broncos self-destructing? Can they get it together for the end of this season? I guess you'll have to stick around to find out here on Necessary Roughness. GoMileHigh.com.
Hi, Shaquille O'Neal for Rat. This is not your normal PSA. Don't be stupid. Don't drink and drive. If you're going to go out and have a good time, it's fine. But designate a driver to drive home. Let's stop the madness. Don't drink and drive.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You are round MVP.
Yeah, man.
Yo, Drew, I finally got round MVP. Round MVP.
No way. That was some ownage. It's a good thing you got me as your wingman.
Right. You mean when you threw that flash grenade at me?
Whatever, man. Huge round. Seriously, great stuff.
Finally earning round MVP takes determination. So will getting into college. I've got what it takes.
All right, class. I'm going to pass back your tests. And a high score goes to... Brian.
Oh, yeah. High score, baby.
We're all good at something. Maybe it's breakdancing or skateboarding or video games. Whatever you're good at, you have the skills to make it happen. And those same skills will help you get to college. Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Start taking the steps at knowhowtogo.org.
I've got what it takes. So do you.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Hello, this is Robin Zanner.
Hello, this is Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick for Rad.
Some people think it's fun to drive drunk, but that's unacceptable.
Be smart. If you drink,
don't drive.
Think ahead and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Logan Massaro.
And this is Tony Shuck.
And you're listening to Necessary Roughness. Ooh, oh, yeah, yeah, baby.
Right, everyone. As you know, my team is the Denver Broncos, the defending Super Bowl 50 champions. Not having the greatest year this year, but I still love them nonetheless. Jake, what's our next question for this topic?
All right, fellas. Are the Denver Broncos going to implode in these last two games, or are we going to see them turn it around?
All right, I'll take this one. So here's what I have to say. I don't think the Denver Broncos are self-destructing. I think that's too harsh of a word. I think what's happening is they won the Super Bowl last year, and now there's unbelievably high expectations for the Denver Broncos. That's pretty normal with Super Bowl winning teams. It's not a out of the ordinary thing. Everyone expects the Super Bowl winners, especially Denver. Last time they won a Super Bowl, won back to back. So I mean, everyone kind of held that in their back pocket, you know. And oh, I bet they'll win back to back again. Well, you know, looking at it, coming into this year, they had an entirely new offensive line. Four new dudes starting on the offensive line. I consider Michael Schofield a new starter because he switched positions. Other than that, everybody else is new. Second of all, they lost their leading rusher, C.J. Anderson, pretty early in the year at a time where he was playing better than he had started. So he was getting better. He's a late-season player as we know it anyhow. So he was starting to heat up right when he went down for the rest of the season. And you know what? They came into the season without Peyton Manning. That means that they came into the season with two quarterbacks who had never taken an NFL snap. Simeon took a kneel down. Do we even count that as an NFL snap? I don't think so.
I mean,
so
he didn't fumble.
He didn't fumble. So impressive on that. But anyhow, I mean, you look at all the players they lost, because also when you win the Super Bowl, everyone around the league notices, oh, these guys won the Super Bowl. Maybe they had a few good players on their team. Oh, look, those players are up for contract. Malik Jackson will give you an unbelievable amount, even though you're not going to bring the Jackson Jaguars to a playoff spot. Danny Trevathan, we're going to give you a great contract just because you won a Super Bowl last year. They were getting vultured because they just won the Super Bowl. They lost Peyton. They got two new quarterbacks. I mean, they were battling adversity the whole time. I think they've actually done fairly well with what they've done to this point in the season, considering what they're playing with a fourth-round running back as a starter. Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders still look just as good as always. I mean, their numbers don't look as good, but their play looks as good. And you're playing with two quarterbacks, as I said, that I've never played before. So you got to give them a break. You got to give those guys some time to learn. It's only the coaches' second year in the staff. So, I mean, I'm going to give these guys a pass this year. And what I'll say is my closing argument is, you know, the Broncos never seem to stay very bad for long. Last time they won the Super Bowl, 1998, you know what they did in 99? They were 6-10. Year after that, 8-8, back in the playoffs. Then, just a few years later, they go 4-12, one of their worst records in a long, long time. You know what they do? They draft Tim Tebow and Von Miller. Back in the playoffs, beating the Pittsburgh Steelers in the first round, playing the Patriots the next. I'm not worried about my team staying bad for long. I think it's going to be maybe a year or two from now. You'll see them back in the playoffs. I'm not mad that they're going to miss the playoffs this year. It happens. A lot of teams don't make the playoffs. Luckily, mine does most of the time, so I'm not going to complain too much. Tony, I think that the Broncos aren't self-destructing. I think they're right where they need to be, and they're getting better as they go. Trevor Siemian has looked better every single game he plays, and as they get healthier and replace offensive linemen that aren't working out, you'll see the Broncos be a lot better in the future years.
Well, let me try to actually answer the question as opposed to dancing so eloquently around it like Logan Massaro did, because he's a fanboy and he doesn't want to say what everyone knows. Yes, they're self-destructing. Yes, they're imploding from the inside out. Aqib Talib has single-handedly destroyed this team inside the locker room and on the field by committing stupid penalties and getting 15 yards stacked against him. Let's just start with Norwood. A few weeks back, he pushes him, blindsides him, and basically calls him out on muffing the punts. Then you get this game last Sunday. They lose to the New England Patriots, right? Okay, it's not a game anyone really expect them to win, but damn it, the defense played well enough for them to win. If you can hold Tom Brady to 16 points, you should win that game. But the offense, the inept, crappy, dysfunctional offense, couldn't score more than 3 points. So yeah, the defense got mad. And Aqib Talib threw a fit in the locker room.
See, Tony, but what you're saying about that fit in the locker room, a lot of people have misconstrued how that all went down. Russell Okung stood up to talk to the team after Gary Kubiak asked, would any players like to address the team? And Chris Harris and Aqib Talib both said, no, Russ, don't do this. It wasn't as a, you're on the offense, you aren't allowed to talk. It was a, we've already heard it. We've already had our butts beaten to a pulp. Leave it alone. That's how it happened.
If you're going to buy their revisionist history because there weren't any cameras in there, because that's what the PR rep wants you to believe, by all means, boo-boo, you listen to them.
You weren't in there either, Tony.
Yeah, but you know what? It doesn't make it outside the locker room if it was, hey, brother, why don't you sit down? I think we're going to be okay. That wasn't what he said, because it wouldn't be in the freaking news. Clearly, Russell Okung stood up. New guy wanted to take a leadership role on the offensive line and talk about how they're struggling and how they're going to make it better. And Aqib Talib said, sit your big butt down. I don't want to hear it. That's what happened inside there. And they got real close to each other. A lot of people said they got nose to nose and there was some pushing. That doesn't sound like, hey, we don't want to hear it. That sounds like some revisionist history, because they don't want to talk about what's going on in their locker room. They don't want other teams to know what's going on. They don't want other teams to know that they can't make it, that they're crumbling from the inside. The defense is sick and freaking tired of putting this team on their back and being let down by this inept offense. The offensive line can't keep anyone from getting to Siemian.
And plus, you know, the next two games are going to be tough divisional games, and that blood is going to be pumping. You know, people are going to get mad. And they're going to get mad at each other. So I think it's just going to get worse from here on out, Logan. You know, if they lose these next two games, it's looking ugly for the Broncos.
That's the second part of that statement, though. So the second half of this question is, can they get it straight in the next two games? Absolutely not.
No, I would agree with you on that,
it's
Tony.
It's at Arrowhead, and then you have the best road team in the league, and the Raiders coming into Bronco Nation. By then, they will probably already be eliminated from the playoff picture. So who's going to play for what? They've imploded. It's over. The season's over. So the question is are they imploding? Yeah, they're self-destructing. They've self-destructed their way out of the playoffs. Can they get it? No, they can't. I don't know if this team can get it right next year, because I don't think this team comes back. I think there has to be some offseason moves, i.e. Aqib Talib on his way out, because I don't know that they can rebuild the bridges that have been burned.
You know what? As good as Aqib Talib is, maybe the guys that have a problem with Aqib should get out of here. Because you know what? Russell Okung trying to talk bad about him. When was the last time you seen Russell Okung making any plays? I seen a backup tackle playing better than he has. So I don't want to hear anything out of Russell Okung. Nonetheless, I'm excited to see what my Broncos do next year, because this is not their year, everybody. I'm sorry to say it. Going to go to break one more time here. Right here, GoMileHigh.com, Necessary Roughness after the break. Brock Osweiler got benched. What do we think about that? Stay here to find out.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
I'm so glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case,
my arm is fine.
Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
This is Alice Cooper for RADD.
We all got a long way to go.
There's a lot of things we have no control of in this world, but that's not the case with drunk driving. If you're going to drink, don't drive. Think ahead and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives on, and so should you.
Yes, we all got a long way to go.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Logan Massaro.
And this is Tony Shuck.
And you're listening to Necessary Roughness.
Ooh, oh, yeah, yeah, baby.
All right, welcome back to Necessary Roughness. I'm your co-host, Tony Sheck. We got Logan Massaro, and we've got Brock Osweiler. Man, you know, coming from Denver Nation out here, we were all sad to see him go. Oh, wait, no, I wasn't. I didn't care. A lot of people didn't, and a lot of people hoped the Texans would eat crow, and it's looking to go that way. What you got for us, Jake?
All right, guys. What should Houston do with Brock after benching him?
All right, I'll take first on this one, Tony. So here's what I say the Texans do. I say they keep him on the bench for the rest of this year and then address it at the end of the year. Try to see what they do have because obviously when he played for the Broncos, John Elway saw something in him. We only saw him play in 7 games as a Bronco, but you know when he played? He won 5 out of 7. That's not bad at all. I don't think I would mind our quarterbacks this year as Broncos fans winning 5 out of 7 games. That would mean that they'd probably be in the playoffs again. So, you know what? I don't think it's time to just, everybody's saying, oh, just dump him, just cut him, take your cap loss, whatever. You already paid for the guy. You might as well see what you got there. It was his first year in the offense, his first year at the helm of an offense, being not the understudy to Peyton Manning, being the guy that's on all the posters, that's on all the programs and everything. That was the first time he's done all that, and it didn't work out. Okay. Bummer. You know what? There's a lot of quarterbacks that don't work out in their first year, and I don't want to hear everybody telling me that Brock Osweiler is a veteran quarterback because I don't care how many practices you play in. Until you get NFL experience, you are a rookie in my eyes. And 7 games was not enough for Brock Osweiler to figure out the ins and outs of being an NFL quarterback. You know what? He's got the talent. There's talent everywhere around him. Will Fuller, their first-round draft pick from this year, looks outstanding. If the guy can hold on to the ball a little better, runs great routes, he's a burner, can get open. Lamar Miller, they brought him in this year, outstanding running back, and we know what DeAndre Hopkins is. CJ Fedora waits another one. I can keep naming them, Jake. The backups to these guys are even good. It doesn't matter who I name because most of the Texans' offense has some talent at every position. So I think it's not time to go away from Brock. I say you let him have the rest of the year. Let him sit down. Tom Savage, come in, you know, bring him to the playoffs, see how far he can get because obviously Brock's not the answer this year. But the guy has a little talent. He was a second-round draft pick who won a few games for the Broncos, helped him get to the Super Bowl. It's not time to give up on this guy. It's time to give this guy some reassurance that this is his team and that this is a momentary absence. that he's taking to get himself together and to make himself a better quarterback so that next year they can come back and he can be the better quarterback that they know he can be.
The only way you cut Brock Osweiler is if Tom Savage doesn't blow it. If Tom Savage can come in, get them into the playoffs, because right now if they win, they're in. They control their own destiny. They just basically the big game is they have to beat Tennessee in week 17. Now, personally, I don't think they will. But if he can do that, and let's just say they win a playoff game. Let's say they make a little bit of noise and a little bit of a run. Again, not expecting it, but if it did, then maybe you look at the Brock Osweiler trade. Now, who the hell is going to take that contract? See, I agree with you. Everyone wants to scream at the top of their lungs, get rid of this guy, do this, do that. You know what? To get rid of somebody, you have to either cut them or trade them. Well, trade them? Who's taking him? Who's taking $25 million, $21 million, $20 million in three consecutive years in cap space? I don't know. Not on this quarterback, not right now. And if you cut him, it's actually cheaper to keep him. Next year, if they keep him, they owe him $19 million. If they cut him, they lose $25 million. I think I'd keep the most expensive backup I can. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no harm, no foul right here. People just like to make these ridiculous remarks, and they don't go in and actually find out what it does to a team. Yes, they made a bad decision. In hindsight, at the time, he looked good, and he could still be good. Physically, he's a monster. He's tall. He's athletic. He's got a cannon of an arm. The problem is he makes crappy decisions. If you can get in a good quarterback's coach, similar to my Dolphins, we'll talk about a little bit later, Adam Gase came in as a head coach on there who used to be a quarterback's coach for the Denver Broncos with Peyton Manning and with the Cutler. And he turned around that franchise a little bit. You see the Dolphins doing well. Tannehill played great up until he got injured. He was playing really well. And Matt Moore's come in. We're going to talk about him later. And he's come in well. I think Osweiler could make a transition like that, but he needs a support system. He needs somebody to come in and show him how to make better decisions. Because quite frankly, if we're just going numbers for numbers, how many touchdowns does Tom Savage have this year? Zero. He scored zero touchdowns. So did he do anything? No, he just didn't lose the game. The problem right now with Osweiler is he has 14 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. If you can get that interception number down, he's made some fantastic plays. Now, the offensive line needs to help him out in that regard a little bit too, because quite frankly, Lamar Miller is doing the best he can, but they aren't opening up the biggest holes for him to run through either. It's a struggling offense. So you can't put it all on him, and I think he deserves one more year, but understand the coaching staff needs to step in and teach him and get him better. I think you see with a lot of – Blake Bortles is another example. He's got all the intangibles there. He just makes bad decisions. One coach away, and he could be the guy you thought he was supposed to be.
Well, you know what? A quarterback to me really is made or not made – by his team and his coach, because Brock Osweiler, as I said earlier, when he was a Denver Bronco, as a Bronco fan, I looked at that guy as a future. He looked good enough to me that I was comfortable saying I'd be fine with him taking over the team that I watch every Sunday and going out there, and I think he would win them games. I think he would win the Denver Broncos games. I still stand by that. I think the Broncos, we were talking about the Broncos a minute ago, Tony. I think if the Broncos were somehow able to keep Brock last year, they're still in the playoffs this year. I'm not saying that as a knock to Trevor Siemian or anything, but the guy looked pretty good in a Broncos uniform. He played decent quarterback. I don't think that you just forget how to play quarterback all of a sudden, Tony. I think it's just he's in a new system, new coach. He sat behind Peyton Manning while Gase and everyone was there for 4 years, so he's only been around a few people in his life. He didn't play much college football. The guy just needs to play more football. Getting him more adept to the NFL and more in tune with everything, I think you have a decent prospect at a franchise quarterback there. Maybe you gave him the right contract. Maybe the first year didn't work out. But looking into the future, I think there's a chance that Brock Osweiler could be a top 15, if not top 10 quarterback with the intangibles he has, and the talent around him really is what sells it to me. As Tony said, after the break, we're going to talk about his Dolphins. We've talked about my Broncos for a couple segments in a row now. So I guess we'll give the guy a few seconds to talk about his team. GoMileHigh.com, Necessary Roughness. I'm Logan Massaro.
Psst, hey, over here, behind the fence.
Huh? You? The bike?
Yeah, the bike. Here in the grass where the kids left me a while ago. Could you get the dust off my seat and remind the kids how fun I still am?
Okay. Oh, you are dusty.
I may need my spokes tightened, too. Let's go.
As Native American parents and caregivers, our encouragement to healthy lifestyles for our kids is helping them get outside and play. Get ideas, get involved, get going at letsmove.gov/Indian Country. Brought to you by USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Go, Caleb!
Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah,
yeah.
So obvious.
Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that.
I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
So, Jacqueline.
Yes, Mom?
I wanted to talk to you about something and... Oh, wait. Hold on. I just got a text. Oh, there's another one. Wow. Busy, busy me. So, anyway...
Oh, wait, Mom. I just got a message. My friends keep commenting on my comment. Oh, there's another one. So many comments on my comment.
Oh, I can't wait to watch TV tonight. Playoffs!
Hey, guys, check out my new video game. Pew, pew.
Wait. Mom, what?
Huh? What? Hold on.
What'd you say?
Wait a sec, what?
This weekend,
unplug. Take your family to the forest. There's nothing in the world like experiencing nature firsthand. Trees, paths, bluebirds, streams. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Logan Massaro.
And this is Tony Shuck.
And you're listening to Necessary Roughness.
Oh, yeah, yeah, baby.
Welcome back to Necessary Roughness. Guess what, guys? We get to talk about the Fins. That's right, the Dolphins. Killing it. We might actually go to the playoffs. I say we because they've hired me. Not really, but in spirit. I feel like if Gloria Estefan can own part of the team, I feel like I own part of the team. What are we looking at, Jake?
With Matt Moore looking really good, can he give the Dolphins the opportunity of a playoff run?
No, but that's not his fault. The Dolphins just have a history of blowing it right before we make it. The last few years we've been in playoff runs, we've controlled our own destiny. And every single time we manage to find a way out of it. And it's not Matt Moore's fault. In all honesty, Matt Moore looked fantastic. Matt Moore threw my favorite pass of the whole game when I watched it. He threw this little floater to Deion Sims. He caught it right around the 8-10 yard line and ran it to the one, and he reached out for it. But the finesse on that pass was such, it was so phenomenal to watch because it looked like it should have been intercepted. You look like the secondary should have been able to get to it, but he put just the right amount of touch to it where only Sims could get to it. And it was a great play. They gelled well together around him, but that's also a game they should have won. It was the Jets. Like, let's be real. Now, the reason why I say no is we're going to play at Buffalo against Rex Ryan and that defense. And Tyrod Taylor's starting to pick it up a little bit. He's playing a little bit better than they have. Sammy Watkins is getting back to full strength. And while they're not in playoff contention, they don't ever make games easy on AFC East teams. So that's a scary game, especially in Buffalo when you know the weather isn't going to be in the favor. And then you go, we got New England at home. Now, typically we split with New England, but we lost to New England. And that was with backup quarterback Garoppolo. I don't know that we beat Tom Brady. I'm just saying Tom Brady's looked awfully freaking good right now.
He is ageless, isn't he, Tony?
I mean, I hate him with a passion, but I'll be damned if he's not my MVP. I mean, it's hard to look the other way. I think there are other guys in that conversation, and we might have that conversation again another time. But the man's stellar. Now, I don't know when Michael Floyd is eligible to play, if he's not eligible to play. I don't know what's going on there, but the addition of him scares the hell out of me. And if he's playing in that game, good God, the potential for Tom Brady to murder anybody in the secondary is endless with the addition of Michael Floyd.
Doesn't it seem like Tom Brady is just somehow gifted these big old talented receivers all the time? How does that happen?
Because Bill Belichick's a genius. Because Bill Belichick finds a way to get damaged players, and either they work or they don't work, but there's zero risk. Like right now, Floyd is in his rookie contract in his last year. So what do they owe him? 673, I think, yeah. K. Who cares? They only owe it for two games, so it's less. They don't even really owe him that much, right? They probably owe him about 50 to 80 grand, whatever it is a game. So who cares? If he fails and he sucks, no harm, no foul. He's a free agent at the end of the year, and we get a compensatory pick.
Yep.
So they're not out anything. They do that all the time. You look at guys who didn't make it. Ocho Cinco didn't happen. Albert Haynesworth didn't work out. But okay, Randy Moss did. So I'll take the ups versus those downs. So, but when you factor in going back to the Dolphins, it's not that I have anything against Matt Moore. I don't have anything against the Dolphins. And no matter what happens, if we lose both of these games, this season's a win. Because the amount of improvement I've seen on the offensive line, the defensive line especially, all the pieces are there for a great run next year. You talked about your Broncos next year. I think the Dolphins are a next year team. Even if they make the playoffs, they're probably going to be a one and done. But we've built a foundation that we can easily draft and free agency around and get a couple pieces to make us true contenders.
See, so here's what I have to say on the question. I think that the Dolphins will make the playoffs this year. I firmly do believe that they make the playoffs this year. I don't know if they make a run per se because I don't think they're Super Bowl contenders. But I also don't think that what you just said with them being a one and done, I don't agree with that, Tony. I think that this team with Matt Moore at the helm, there's a chance they could win a playoff game. And here's the reason. You know what Matt Moore showed me this weekend? That there's a little chemistry there with Jarvis Landry. And goodness gracious, Tony, Tannehill has not seemed to have any connection with Jarvis Landry. And we've talked about this in the past when we're talking about your Fins, that they need to have that number one receiver. And I told you that number one receiver is Jarvis Landry. It's Tannehill holding him back. You know what he looked like on Saturday? He looked like a number one receiver, Tony. He was all over the place. He was the star player of the game, as Jarvis Landry should be, because he's the best offensive talent they have. Jay Ajayi looked great in the beginning of the season, but it's just not his team. This is Jarvis Landry's team, just like the Giants are Odell Beckham's team. You know, that's the kind of player that Jarvis Landry can be. If you can get him the ball, he's a playmaker. He has the spectacular catch ability. He has the juking ability. He can return punts. The guy is everywhere on the field. All you got to do is give him the ball, and Tannehill is not able to do that. With Matt Moore at the helm, I think they can win a playoff game, because if you go in and you're playing a lesser team that maybe squeaked in like the Texans, if they match up with the Texans somehow in the playoffs, I think they'd beat the Texans. I also think they might be the Kansas City Chiefs, because the Chiefs seem to struggle with teams like that. So that can run the ball and that have one good receiver, because Marcus Peters, you know, he's pretty good until you burn him. So I think there's a few teams that they can beat in the playoffs. It'll all matter how they get matched up once they get there. But I don't think you count Matt Moore out at all. I think he's got the team around him and the defense that has been outstanding the end of this season. That Dolphins defense is vicious as of lately. Cameron Wake is outstanding. Really like him a lot. I'd like to see what they do in the playoffs this year. Don't count them out, Tony.
The one team that's a possibility for them to play, and as of right now they will be matched up against, is the one team you didn't mention, and I don't know if it was on purpose or not, but it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. And while we beat them earlier in the year, this is a different team now.
Yep.
This team, Le'Veon Bell is showing up to play. He is decimating every defense he's gone up against. Antonio Brown's killing it. The Pittsburgh Steelers, that's who we're going to put there. They're the three seed. The Dolphins are probably going to come in the sixth seed because they're getting in the last seed. That's the toughest matchup, I think, out there in the AFC that's not getting a bye.
Yep.
So, again, I'm not taking anything away from Matt Moore. What I'm saying is we just don't stack up well against that team. You mentioned the defense. The defensive line is great. The linebackers are okay, but the secondary is hot garbage.
That secondary had three picks on Saturday,
but that's only
Tony.
Because the defensive line got to the quarterback and made him throw errant plays or errant throws. So if that can be the case, if the defensive line can get through and break out and get to the quarterback and force the time to come out quicker, then yes, maybe. But if they don't, ooh, we're getting burned. We're getting burned bad. But you're not getting burned because we're going to break. We come back on Necessary Roughness. We're going to talk about sleeper teams in the playoffs. GoMileHigh.com.
Did you know that of the 8 million dogs and cats that enter shelters each year, almost half of them are euthanized simply because they're not adopted? And the truth is, there's nothing wrong with these pets. They're just good dogs and cats, most of whom end up in shelters due to owner-related issues they have no control over. So if you want a pet, adopt. brought to you by the Shelter Pet Project and the Ad Council. Go to theshelterpetproject.org.
My name is Meera Batra, and this is How I Live United. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to see opportunities available. We help them get involved with their kids, schools, and network within the community. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunity and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Thanks for asking, but I'd rather not send you nude pictures. I'm camera shy. I already said no. It's against my religion. I'm giving my dog a bath. You can have pictures of that. Pressure gives me hives. Under my clothes, I'm a robot. Hold on. Let me ask my mom. Sorry, my webcam is broken. I'm worried they'll get passed around school. Unfortunately, I just had my clothes surgically attached to my body. If they got out, I might never be president. I'm already naked, under my clothes. Not even if you were all three Jonas Brothers. I have a rash. I have nudophobia. I have lizard skin. The more you ask, the less I want to. You're not the boss of me. Nudity makes me vomit. I'm a vampire, so I don't show up in pictures anyways. Your badgering has really killed the mood.
When someone is pressuring you to do something you don't want to, how many ways can you say no before they get the message? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Logan Massaro.
And this is Tony Shuck.
And you're listening to Necessary Roughness.
Ooh, oh, yeah, yeah, baby.
All right. Before the break, Tony said we were going to talk about some sleeper teams in the playoffs, and that's exactly what we're going to do. Jake, what's the question you got for us?
All right, guys. AFC and NFC. I want who is your sleeper team to make it to the playoffs?
All right, I'll start on this one. Tony actually mentioned my team in the last segment, and my team is the Pittsburgh Steelers. I understand the Pittsburgh Steelers might not be the most slept on team because it's not like nobody's talking about these guys.
But I think everyone had them winning the Super Bowl early in the season, but go ahead.
Early in the season, I don't know about that, Tony. Regardless, they did kind of fall off this season, and people stopped talking about them because they had a bit of a drought. They also lost Big Ben, as it seems every year. Big Ben is due for his 2 to 3 missed games, and Landry Jones comes in, and we all hope that Landry Jones is not the starting quarterback of the future for the Steelers. Anyhow, the Steelers have really come to in the end of the season. We talked about Le'Veon Bell just a little bit last season. I want to talk about that guy a little more. He is unstoppable. That has got to be the best running back play I have ever seen. I would put him up there with Adrian Peterson in terms of guys that I've physically gotten to watch play that I think are outstanding. Those are the only two guys. I think it's those two and then far and few between. There is no one like those two running backs. And Le'Veon might even be better than AP. There's a chance because you know what Le'Veon can do? He can play receiver as well. The dude almost has 80 catches on the year. That's unreal. He didn't even play the first 3 games of the season. I mean, what do you do about this guy? He's going to torch you no matter what you're doing. He's going to line up in the slot, play receiver. And talking about receivers, oh my goodness, do they have one out there as well. Antonio Brown, not only do they have the best running back in the league right now, they've got the best receiver arguably too. I mean, a few weeks ago you heard me say Odell Beckham was the best receiver in the league. I still stand by that. But there's a lot that would argue with me that it's Antonio Brown. I'll argue with them to the death because of my guy Odell. But at the end of the day, you know, their argument isn't invalid. The guy's stats are unreal. He's got the better quarterback. And the big thing for the Steelers for me is their defense has started to look like the old-fashioned Steelers defense, the steel curtain style defense that the Steelers like to play where they hit you in the mouth, they get penalties, they don't care about those penalties because they're playing physical, they're stopping you. And really all they're trying to do is give their offense the ball back because that offense is unstoppable. So get them the ball, let them work, defense stay off the field. Don't be surprised if Super Bowl Sunday rolls around and the AFC is represented by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
So my my AFC sleeper team isn't actually in the playoffs yet. My sleeper team is the Tennessee Titans. I think the Tennessee Titans win against the Texans in Week 17. They sneak their way into the playoffs, and I think it's a scary team for any team to be matched up against. If that's the case, they go up against the Chiefs. They already beat the Chiefs. They did it with a stellar running game. DeMarco Murray is finally, throughout this, it was a slow progress, but he's turned back into the DeMarco Murray we remember from the Dallas Cowboys. Derrick Henry's been a phenomenal side counterpart to that. They're starting to flow. The defense is playing well. This is a good team. I think they can do some damage inside the playoffs. Now, I think the roadblock is the New England Patriots. I don't know that anyone escapes them. I'm going to jump to the NFC, though. I like the Giants. I like the Giants a lot. I like the Giants so much so that I think that there's a very good chance they go to the Super Bowl again. Because every time they do, nobody's talking about them. And right now, nobody's talking about them. They've kind of, everyone just assumes they weren't going to make it. I think a lot of people have not realized yet that they're sitting comfortably in the fifth seed right now. As it stands, they're going to match up against the Lions. That's a beatable team.
And that defense looks better every week they get on the field, don't they, Tony?
100%. And we know that the Cowboys can't beat the Giants because they sure as hell haven't done it this year. It's
the kryptonite.
And the Seahawks look like they're falling off. So the top two teams in the NFC looking a little suspect. And the Giants are a team that love to capitalize on that. I don't think we're going to need a miracle catch this year for the Giants to do some damage. I think they're going to do it all themselves. But don't think that I don't think Odell Beckham Jr. isn't going to shine against some of these defenses.
I was
going to
say, when you mentioned miracle catches, they do need one, don't they? Have the guy to do it.
They've got OBJ to get the job done, but I mean, they've got more than their running game's finally shown up. They're actually starting to get some running on the field. The $100 million defensive line is finally starting to earn a paycheck. Vernon's getting to the quarterback. You've got one-handed
JPP
actually getting to the quarterback with his good arm. So I like what I see from the Giants. I like them now. I think they're the one team nobody's talking about. They could easily get to the Super Bowl. Their path is cleared for them. They've, like I said, they've mowed down the Cowboys twice. The Seahawks look like garbage right now to me. They don't look like a team who's got it together. The Packers, really? Do we have to talk about them?
No.
You know what I'm saying? The Falcons, they're hit and miss. This is the most complete team, I think, right now, and they're healthy.
Yeah, my NFC sleeper team was the Falcons. You just mentioned them. And the only thing that I think that the Falcons have on the Giants, why I picked them over the Giants, was I think Atlanta's defense might be as good at this point as the Giants' defense. The way they've played Vic Beasley is unreal coming off the edge. Like Von Miller, Khalil Mack-type edge rush lately from Vic Beasley. And then Dwight Freeney always is a... Dwight Freeney's ageless. That guy always seems to have a little bit of production. And they're just playing better as a whole on defense, and they're playing good enough for that record-setting, high-powered offense to win them the game as they should. I mean, the offense, every aspect of that offense is completely to a T worked out to the fullest. Their two running backs are unbelievable. My favorite running back duo in the entire league, even more than Henry and DeMarco Murray. And you know what? They've got a few receivers, too. I like the whole team. I think they've got a real good chance of making a run in the playoffs. And Matt Ryan might be the NFL MVP at the end of the year. So good team there. I really like the Steelers, as I said, in the AFC. So those are my two picks, Tony. I think all of our picks have a great chance. It's got a lot of quiet teams this year going to make a splash in the playoffs, I have a feeling.
I think it's going to be a competitive playoff year. My fear with your Atlanta Falcons pick is, where's Julio Jones?
Yep.
The injury scares me right now. I mean, they have enough offensive weapons that I think that they could still... I mean, Matt Ryan's Matt Ryan. But if Julio's not Julio, it's going to get tough as it goes on.
Yep, I would agree. Well, I had a great time today, guys. This is Necessary Roughness on GoMileHigh.com, as always. Jake in the booth, thank you, my man. Have a great day. Tony, thank you for hosting this show with me. Talk to you next week, everybody.